you guys. We're doing another movie retrospective, and we're talking about another Vincent Price classic. In fact, Vincent Price has said on numerous occasions that this was actually probably his favorite role that he ever did in all of the movies that he was in. And he was in like 100-something movies, like just a ridiculous amount.
Yeah, it's strange. This isn't his best movie, in my opinion.
You know what, though? This one is a lot of fun, actually. I kind of feel like it's a lot of fun.
It's kind of like a remake of that. What was that, Dr. Phoebes?
The Abominable Dr. Phibes. I guess it's Phibes.
It's similar to that.
Which came out a couple years before this one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have said that, too. But this one is much more, much campier, much more overtly comedic. And also much gorier. Yeah. I remember Dr. Phibes being kind of gory, but this one is like way, way, way gorier.
Dr. Phibes had a little bit more of a better color palette. It was a little more extravagant, higher budget. But I can see how he would like this one, though. I mean, it's a little more, like I said, it's funny, but it's more almost like a slasher.
Oh, yeah,
it's got
big
some slashers type. Gore effects.
I was actually surprised by how gory this was.
Yeah. And it's kind of sardonic, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely
cruel.
It's definitely a black comedy, and it's definitely kind of like... But yeah, so this is called Theater of Blood. Dermot, one of our British patrons, actually sent me an Amazon gift card to purchase this with. He was also the same guy that sent the money for Brimstone and Treacle, which we also reviewed. So we were finally getting around to talking about this one. And I think the Blu-ray that I bought also has another Vincent Price movie from Whisper to a Scream on it. So we might end up doing that one eventually as well. But like I said, so this one comes out in 1973, and it's directed by Douglas Hickox. And stars, I mean, pretty much all of your big British character actors at the time were in this fucking movie. I mean, it's like a who's who of this time period. And it's a lot of like classical actors and stuff. But the main part, Vincent Price, he's the main guy. And then his daughter, Edwina, is played by Diana Rigg, from Avengers.
Yeah.
So, among zillions of other things. Because she was in a Bond movie, too, right? Wasn't she on Her Majesty's Secret Service, I kind of feel like?
I didn't see that one.
I kind of feel like she was probably in that. This also has Diana Dors in it. Like, I think this was kind of like past her heyday, I suppose, but she's just like in one scene, I think, where she's getting a massage that looks like sex with Vincent Price. Yeah. It's a long story.
This is the only movie I've ever seen where Vincent Price pretended to be gay. He does a really good gay. He showed up. It's like a disguise he puts on.
Yeah, one of many.
One of many. He goes into like his 70s cool dude outfit with a big old fro, big old perm on his head. And he's got his daughter dressed up like a boyfriend. And they just pretend to be a gay couple and shit. And he's fucking awesome as gay. I mean, you just have to see it to believe it. You're like, wait, but this is Vincent Price, right? He's just being gay as hell.
It works. Tell that he was just having the time of his fucking life making this movie.
Yeah, he was having fun. He got to play all these roles. He's playing a serial killer, a Shakespearean actor. And, you know, he whoever gives him a bad review, he's going to kill you. And he's going to be impersonating somebody else when he does it, because he's an actor. So he's going to kill you with his acting. And during one murder, he dresses up as a gay dude from a gay couple. You could tell he's having fun with the whole movie.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that's why, I mean, both him and Diana Rigg said this was like one of their favorite roles. And I mean, Vincent Price, this was his favorite movie that he ever did. Because I think the thing with Vincent Price was that he had a long and storied career. People still talk about him to this day. I mean, he was working up until he was very, very old. You know, he was in like Tim Burton movies and stuff. Like he was in Edward Scissorhands and stuff. But I do kind of feel like that, I think that he got a little bit typecast at being in all these kind of like B horror movies.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he minded it all that much, but
he's always the same in all of them.
I think that he kind of wanted to maybe be like more of like a Shakespearean actor.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why this was so fun for him, because he got to play like all these different, he got to do like all these like flowery soliloquies, and he got to just totally fucking chew the scenery and ham it up. I think like one of the lines that I laughed at the most in this was like he was reading, because before he'd kill each of the critics, he would read the, you know, the bad review that they had given to him. And one of the reviews like compared him to like a ham sandwich, which I thought was like, which made me laugh really hard. Because it was like a lot funnier than that, because it was like this big complicated like setup, like because he was between two good actresses and then he was in the middle, and so it was like a ham sandwich, you know what I mean? So that like made me laugh a lot.
I could see why he liked this movie the best.
I mean, big time he
got to play probably about 30 different roles.
And he got to do all the costumes, and like I said, he got to do all the famous, you know, shit from all the Shakespeare plays, and he got to kill people in horrible, like, increasingly gruesome ways, which, like I said, what's not to love about that? Not much.
He gets to play a cop and kills a dude with some bombs. he gets to play a fucking celebrity chef and makes a dude eat his own dogs and then kill him with his own dogs. Cooked dogs. Yeah, he fucking dresses up as a gay dude, kills, it was a woman, it was a dude, wasn't it?
No, it was a woman.
It was a woman, yeah. How did he kill her? I forgot.
He electrocuted her in the hairdresser, the dryer thing.
That's right.
Yeah, the hairdresser thing.
There was a guy with him, though, he was a cop.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's flirting with the cop, you know, he's a big boy. It's just fucking funny, you know, see Vincent Price chat.
With an afro and massive smoked sunglasses.
Yeah, in his leisure suit and shit.
It was a shirt that had like a bunch of naked Greek dudes on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I saw the photo and I was looking for the stills earlier. I'm like, oh my God, that shirt's fantastic.
It's fucking funny.
He was just having the fucking, like I said, you can tell he was having the time of his life.
Yeah.
So, like I said, now a lot of people said, this is like a gorier, campier version of the Abominable Dr. Fibes. Now, I watched like a lot of different horror reviews of this. Some people like Dr. Fibes better. Some people like this one better. I don't know. It's like, I kind of feel like I can see the arguments on both sides, because Dr. Fibes had much more of brightly colored, like these visuals. This one was kind of shot at real locations around London, most of which are not there anymore, obviously. Like the theater where they shot it, that was a real theater. And then it was torn down shortly after, and now there's houses there or whatever. But so this is much more like a time capsule of London in that time period, because they shot it all at real places. You know, nothing was a set, as far as I know. So that's kind of different from Dr. Fibes. But like I said, it's very much like the same kind of story. Because Dr. Fibes, that was like, what was it? The Plagues of Egypt, right? That was what the theme was.
Yeah, that's right.
Whereas this one, he's killing people, like having to do with like how characters got murdered in Shakespeare plays.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, the movie Seven, the David Fincher movie, I feel like this kind of like this kind of like maybe was a big influence for that. I know it's like a weird thing to say because the movies are completely different. Because like I said, this is very much a comedy. It's a horror comedy. It's gross. It's gruesome. But it's very, very much played for comedy.
This is like a prototype of like, you know, Evil Dead and stuff. You know what I mean? Where you're mixing humor and horror together. You know what I mean? It's that kind of tone.
Yeah,
Evil Dead series.
Yeah, and I think that's what it's not as zany as that exactly. Yeah.
Kinda, but in a different way.
But it's zany but understated zany.
Yeah.
So pretty much so what the story behind this is Vincent Price plays a dude with the very regal, fantastic name of Edward Kendall Sheridan Lionheart.
Yeah.
And he's I know, I love it. And I love that his daughter's played by Diana Rigg, and his daughter's name is Edwina. Like, he loved himself so much that he had to name her after himself, you know what I mean? I thought that was really funny. So
it is funny now that you're talking more about it. I had to see it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's like some really funny shit in this.
Visually, I'm going to give it to Dr. Fibes, but maybe you're right. This one might have been funnier.
I think this was funnier than Dr. Fibes. But it was trying to be funnier.
Yeah, it wasn't as visual, not as cinematic, you know. It wasn't as theatrical in that sense, you know what I mean? But the acting and the story and the weird shit that happens, it's a lot more detailed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's a lot
is.
More detailed. It feels newer. Fibes was kind of like, it had a lot of 60s in it. Early 60s kind of.
Yeah, and this one, like I said, probably because most of it was shot on location, was much more like a, you know, like London in the 70s type of movie. So he's this actor, and he's a Shakespearean actor. Now, it's sort of left to your imagination whether he's actually a bad actor and all the critics are just being dickheads to him because that's all he'll do is Shakespeare. Or if he's actually just really, like, a shitty actor and the critics are completely correct in their assessments. But that's neither here nor there. So what ends up happening is that he doesn't get this award from the Critics Guild or Circle or whatever it is that he thinks he deserves, and they give it to this other young guy, and he gets really pissed off about it. So this doesn't happen in the beginning of the movie. You don't find this out until later because there's like a flashback scene, like after pretty much all the other critics are dead and like just the one remaining is kind of telling the cops what happened. So he's like, basically, Vincent Price, or Lionheart rather, like shows up at our meeting that we had, like our self-congratulatory circle jerk. We were talking about how cool we were for giving that award to somebody. And he shows up and he says, I should get that. And he tries to take it and they kind of get all over his case about it. And he gives the to be or not to be speech from Hamlet and jumps off the balcony. Now, what ends up happening, like, so everybody thinks he's dead, much like in Abominable Dr. Fives, where everybody thinks he's dead and he's killing people, and then they find out later that he lived. And that's kind of what happened here. I thought the first time, because this is the first time I've actually seen this movie, so we were watching it, I thought that he had done that on purpose, like he staged a suicide, because the daughter was there and she was screaming her head off, and I was like, oh, she's in on it and shit. So I thought that he staged it so he could come back and kill them deliberately. But as it turns out, he was actually trying to commit suicide. It just so happened that he landed in the Thames and he lived and he got saved by a bunch of hobos. And then the hobos become like bum army. And they become the bum army. Yeah. And he basically uses them as like his henchmen. I guess he just keeps them in booze and they're just like, whatever, man. Like, they don't care. I think they're like maybe a bunch of actors too, or they were like a down on their luck actors. Cause I guess they were all like squatting in that theater.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what ends up happening is that, so the first critic, he's kind of called by a policeman, quote unquote, to go to this building that he owns, or he's the head of the whatever. And they're like, yeah, there's all these bums that are squatting in there and you need to come in there and get them out. And then so he comes there and it turns out that these are, you know, Vincent Price's bum army, and they all beat him to death, much like in A Clockwork Orange. You know what I mean? And then Vincent Price like comes up to him and he's like dressed like a cop. So that's how that whole situation went. But every single murder that's in this has you know, a counterpart like from a Shakespeare play. And he's doing them in the order that he did like his final season, you know, acting season. Like, so he's doing them in order of like all these, all the Shakespeare plays that he did. Right. So the first one, so like the murder from the homeless people, that was kind of based off, you know, Caesar getting murdered from Julius Caesar. Then there's a second guy. This was probably like one of the most gruesome ones, Hector Snipe. And this was from Troilus and Cressida, I think. So he gets stabbed with a spear. And then when everybody's at the funeral of the first dude, I guess Vincent Price had tied this dude to a horse's tail and the horse was like dragging the body behind like at the cemetery. You know what I mean? So that happened in Troilus and Cressida. So that was the second one. And then the third one, which I think was maybe my favorite, was one of this old guy. And they get him and his wife, they get back to the apartment, and then there's like this massive trunk in there. And they're just like, where the fuck did this come from? It's like, I don't know, it got delivered. Let's deal with it tomorrow. I don't know what the fuck it is. So they both go to bed, and it turns out, it will shock no one, that Vincent Price is in the trunk. And he comes out, him and his daughter, who is helping him, even though for the first half of the movie, she's dressed up like in this ridiculous Paul Williams from Phantom of the Paradise, except with curly hair kind of vibe look. Like, she's dressed up like a hippie dude, but it's pretty clearly her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Not really a hippie. It was 70-something. Yeah. More kind of like one of the members of Nazareth or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what the who was.
Yeah, like a vest with fur trim on it and bell bottoms and big...
A big curly fro, big stupid ridiculous right. Like porn stash.
You're right, yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah, so he would have been kind of like a rocker of that time.
I guess so.
Yeah,
I was trying to think of like who the equivalent
from Nazareth or Molly Hatchet or some shit like that.
But yeah, so that one, so they both pop out of this giant trunk, And they have all of this, you know, these drugs, like, in a syringe. And the dude, like, the critic, is sleeping in bed next to his wife. And they pretty much, like, stick the syringe in her butt, like, to make her fall asleep. And then they have this big fucking rubber sheet. And they put it around this dude. And they just proceed to surgically, like, cut his head off. Like, while the wife is sleeping there. And they're cutting the head off. And the wife keeps going, stop snoring. And it's like, you know, so, like I said, this is a comedy. And then they leave the head, like, on the milk bottle in front of the other one of the other critics kind of things. But I guess that was from Cymbeline, right? Because, like, somebody finds their husband's head in bed next to them or something like that. And then there's the next one is the guy that gets his heart cut out. That was kind of like the pound of flesh thing. Shylock doing that in Merchant of Venice. Then a dude gets drowned in a barrel of wine. That was like from Richard III. And then in one of the most ridiculous and yet still awesome scenes, he attempts with one of the critics that actually ends up living till the end because he's kind of the hero, even though I don't know if I'd call him that. But that dude's name is Devlin. And he's reenacting the fencing scene from Romeo and Juliet. So they're in this gymnasium and they're fencing and there's all this like gymnastic equipment and trampolines and stuff. And they're fencing and jumping up and down on the trampolines and like slashing at each other and stuff. It's like so fucking hilarious. Again, I laughed my fucking ass off at that as well. And then one of the other guys, he pretends that he's a massage guy. And he goes to this other critic's house and, like, massages the wife, but in a way that makes it look like he's fucking her. Because he knows that her husband is super jealous and that he'll end up killing her. And then he'll go to prison and he'll die in prison. So that kind of works out the way he wants it to be, which is kind of nice. And then the critic that we were talking about before that gets where he dresses up like the campy gay dude and puts that woman in the chair, like in the dryer, and electrocutes her. I think that's supposed to be from like Joan of Arc, you know what I mean? That was from Henry VI, that play. Interestingly, the woman that got electrocuted, like one of the critics, that was Coral Brown, and Vincent Price and Coral Brown met on this movie and they got married like a year later. Vincent Price was already married when he met her, but I guess he fell in love with her and then he divorced his other wife. Like he was married 3 times, I think, but he was married to Coral Brown. I think she died in the 90s, and so he was married to her until she died. But the wife previous was they were married for 23 years, and I guess he met Coral Brown, and he's like, yeah, bye. But yeah, that's how that worked out. And then in probably the most upsetting killing, you got the one dude who's like this super super flamboyant guy. He's like got all the pink suits and everything, and for the whole movie he's been carrying
Arthur of the movie.
Yeah, he definitely is. And like, so the whole thing he's been carrying all these two like little poodles, like his babies, that's what he calls them. And because in Shakespeare's most hardcore and fucked up and gory play, Titus Andronicus, there's a scene where one of the characters eats her own babies in a pie. So guess what happens to these poor little poodles?
Yeah.
They get cooked and put into a pie and he eats them, not really knowing it's the dog. And then they basically, I mean, at this point, like, don't they make it like it's like a cooking show?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's a cooking show.
Like, it's a cooking show. And he's like, oh, we're making you this thing. And we made you this pie. You can't tell us the dog. So they just reveal it later. And then they do kind of like where they start forcing food down his throat.
Yeah, they stuff it.
Yeah. Which, again, that kind of reminded me of Seven. See, yeah. I think maybe that's where they got the idea for Seven, where it's just like making that guy eat everything until he fucking died.
It would be easy to see how movies like this went on to, like I said, inspire Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it's the same concept.
Pretty much the same formula.
Where it's like a serial killer that's basically taking, hey, I'm going to kill people in the manner of yada yada. Like I said, so, you know, Dr. Fibes, it was Plagues of Egypt. This one, it's Shakespeare plays. And then in Seven, it was Seven Deadly Sins, which I'm amazed nobody actually even thought of. Not that I know of. But yeah, so Devlin, the last one, the last critic, he gets kidnapped and they're going to put his eyes out, you know, like King Lear. So, but they have this whole contraption like set up or whatever. And so it turns out then, I think at this point, because it's funny, there's like a bunch of cops kind of following around because they don't really twig on to the fact that that Lionheart is still alive because he's got like a whole big fucking memorial grave and everything like that. So for a while, I think they're thinking that the daughter is the one doing it. This isn't like, it's not super clearly delineated, but I think that the cops are like suspicious of the daughter, which I guess they have a right to be because she is helping him. So, like, she'll wear disguises and, like, lure people to various places where they get horribly murdered and stuff. So, but how that ends up happening, so she's the one that lures Devlin back to this thing, and they're doing King Lear, like I said, they're going to put his eyeballs out, but then, like, the contraption gets stuck, and then it turns out that, like, Vincent Price just ends up burning the whole fucking place down, which actually looked real. Which, well, like I said, I think that building that they filmed it in, I can't remember what the name of it was, the Putney Hippodrome or something like that. Like, it was an old abandoned theater that they shot in. And I think that they were going to tear that down anyway. So maybe they just told him, hey, burn it down. We don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Because at the end, it really did kind of look like they were burning the shit down. But so the end is very, like, King Lear, because the daughter gets killed and he ends up, like, burning the fucking shit down. And then he, like, falls off the fucking top, or he crashes through the ceiling or whatever. So there's that kind of whole thing going on. But yeah, this is, if you really liked, you know, Dr. Fives, but you wanted to see something that was funnier, gorier, and also, like, more in a modern setting, I guess, if you want to say that. Because I mean, Dr. Fives wasn't set a long time ago. It was just more of, like, a fantasy type setting, I guess.
Dr. Fives really reminded me a lot of Phantom of the Paradise.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I don't know if you guys ever seen it. It was an old rock opera. It kind of had a fantastical color palette to it.
Yeah,
bright. You know, it's a trip. It's psychedelic.
Yeah.
You know. So I would give it to Dr. Fives visually, but this one is real close. It competes with it in a different way. It's more about story, acting, humor, the dialogue and stuff. You have Vincent Price just acting fucking crazy through the whole thing.
Like I said, you can tell he is having a fucking ball with this. Because he gets to play all these different, like, Shakespearean roles. He gets to wear all these crazy costumes and outfits. Yeah. And he just gets to, like, fuck. They probably told him, they're like, Vincent, just fucking go to town.
Right.
And he did. And he looks like he's just having a fucking ball.
I'd probably put them on par with each other.
Yeah, they're different. It's like, you know, the stories are very similar. I think even in Dr. Fibes, he had, like, a young woman that was helping him out, right? It's a very, very similar concept.
I was going, like, this is like Dr. Fibes.
Yeah, and, well, you know, everybody pretty much says
that. They knew that, too, while they were doing it.
Yeah. Some people, I was watching one of my favorite horror guys, who's, like, a British dude named Grumpy Andrew, who's actually not grumpy. He's actually a lovely person. But he does a lot of British horror because he's British. And he was talking about this, and he said that he kind of considers this, because they did make a sequel to Dr. Fibes called Dr. Fibes Rides Again, or He Does Something Again. Dr. Fibes Does Something Again. That's what it's called. That's what it's called. But he said he considered this, like, the third Dr. Fibes movie. He's like, I kind of feel like this is in the same universe. You know, even though, because like I said, it's the same concept, but they're just coming at it from a slightly different angle. And like I said, it's much more overtly comedic and campy. And they basically were just like, you know, just go crazy with it. And they just went crazy with the gore. I was actually shocked it's not like fucking, you know, a fucking torture porn. It's not like Hostel or anything like that. But for 1973 and for a Vincent Price movie, it was much gorier than I was expecting. It was much more violent than I was expecting.
This shit would have been unacceptable in 73.
You would think. I mean, it's like pretty over the top.
He just got away with it because it was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was so over the top. Yeah. It's just like, I mean, you know, shit. He's like, at one point, Vincent Price, like, pulls this dude's heart out, and he's like sitting there holding the heart. It's like steaming and stuff like that. It's like fucking crazy.
I think just Vincent Price alone helped them get away with that shit.
Yeah, because I mean,
he was well respected.
He classes up the joint. Yeah. He classes up pretty much any movie he's in.
Yeah.
So they were just like, it's Vincent Price. You know?
Vincent Price, he can do it.
We'll let it slide. He can do whatever he wants to. Right. And like I said, because it was so obviously funny, you know, I think that it's like, although it is kind of like weird tonally, I guess, because some of the violence is like, especially like when that guy got dragged in, like on the horse's tail, I was like, holy shit, I didn't think they'd go that far. But you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing, but it's still like, that wasn't funny. That was like pretty gory, but
I'm sure it was cutting edge in 73.
It probably was. I'm sure it was. But yeah, I mean, seriously, if you're, I was watching this one channel too that had, he was doing all of Vincent Price's horror movies. Like, I guess he just did all of them, like, subsequently, like, in order. And he was saying that this was actually probably his favorite one, which I don't think I'd say that. I think probably Mask of the Red Death is my favorite one. I don't know, man. There's so many, like House of Usher and All the Poe ones are great. All the fucking, pretty much everything he was in is fucking great. But this is a real, real good one. And like I said, some of the gags in this just made me fucking laugh out loud. And for no other reason than to be able to see Vincent Price dressed up as like the campiest, gayest gay that you've ever seen, like with a fucking afro.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, no, for 73, even though 73 was a lot more permissive than people think it is, especially young people that don't realize how fucking wild the 70s were. Still, that was pushing it for Vincent Price, because Vincent Price had been around for a long time. And people might have assumed that Vincent Price might have been stuffy about shit like that. No.
Not at all.
No. Fucking. He'd been in show business a long time. He knew all the gays. You know what I mean? They didn't bother him. He went up there and be gay as he can be. Those characters. And he wasn't, you know, there was other gay cast members. He wasn't, you know, being insulting or anything. He was
camping
laying
it up.
It on thick.
Yeah, he was laying it on thick. He was butch.
It was good, yeah.
He was this hunk of man you brought with you.
Yeah, that's right. He's making a move on the cop. Fucking that shit. It's fucking funny. I didn't notice that the shirt was fucking Greco dudes.
It was something like that. It was like naked dudes.
Naked dudes,
Or dudes in loincloths or something like that. I have a picture of it. There was the naked dude on the back, and then there was a naked boot dude here, like, on the breastplate, and maybe one on the other side, too. I can't really remember. Yeah. It was white, but it had, like, all this kind of artwork on it. I just got the feeling that it was, like, Greco-Roman. Yeah. But, yeah, it was super, super fun. I think it's on Amazon Prime. I think you can rent it for $2.99 or $3.99, something like that. Like I said, we got the Blu-ray, so thank you, Dermot, for sending me the Amazon gift card that I used to order this with, because he recommended that we do this movie, so finally we're getting around to it. So thanks again, Dermot. But yeah, if you dig Vincent Price and want to see something funny and gory that's kind of like Dr. Fives but a little bit different, then definitely check this one out, because it's pretty fucking awesome, and it's super fun and super entertaining. So we will see you guys on the next one. Bye.